First article, the boomer woke versus boomer MAGA. Unfortunately, I think more boomer woke survived the Vietnam era than boomer MAGA. The boomer civil war is the epic clash within the baby boomer generation, born 1946 to 1964. And let me tell you, it's made American politics the high stakes battleground we see in 2025. I see this divide as clear as day. Patriotic America First boomers fighting against the radical woke leftists who've lost their way. The great Donald Trump, a true boomer hero, leads the charge, and his influence shapes today's politics like nobody else. Here is the simplified scoop with the MAGA lens on full blast. The real divide among boomers. Patriotic boomers. These are the heart and soul of America. Boomers who love country, God, and freedom. Shaped by the tough 1970s economy and sick of hippie nonsense, they back strong borders, low taxes, traditional values. Trump, born 1946, is their champion, a no-nonsense leader who says it like it is. They're joined by folks like the great patriots who cheered Reagan's America in the 1980s. Woke boomers. The other side's mess. 1960s radicals who protested Vietnam, smoked who knows what, and now push socialist garbage like climate scams and open borders. Think Bernie Sanders wannabes or Elizabeth Warren types. She's 1949. Obsessed with tearing down everything great about America. They're the ones crying about equity while real Americans pay the price. You have to remember, they were also the ones that were first indoctrinated by colleges and universities. How it started. The Vietnam War split boomers. Some stood tall for the flag, others dodged drafts and waved peace signs. The 60s also brought civil rights and feminist chaos, which patriots saw as going too far, while leftists doubled down. By the 70s, stagflation hit and smart boomers realized big government was the problem, not the solution. How boomers made today's politics great. Or a mess. Trump's America versus leftist lunacy. Patriotic boomers led by Trump turned politics into a fight for America's soul. Trump's 2016 win, powered by boomer voters sick of elites, showed the world who's boss. In 2025, his shadow looms large with MAGA boomers demanding strong leadership, not Biden's weak nonsense. Woke boomers keep pushing division. Think Clinton, born 1946. Or those whining about systemic everything. Their ideas fuel the left's crazy policies, making patriots fight harder. Policies that win. Economy. Patriotic boomers cut taxes. Trump's 2017 tax cuts were huge and slashed regulation, making America rich again. In 2025, we're still fighting to keep those wins again. Leftist spending spree that jack up debt for our kids. Borders and values. Trump's wall and tough immigration stance came from boomer patriots who want America first, not globalist garbage. Meanwhile, woke boomers push diversity that weakens our culture. 2025's border crisis proves they're wrong. Fighting the green scam. Sensible boomers know climate change is overhyped. Trump called it like it is, and in 2025, we're still battling green energy nonsense that kills jobs while leftists worship windmills. Trump's leadership legacy. Trump and other boomer patriots think, born 1959, show what real leadership looks like. In 2025, MAGA boomers dominate the GOP, keeping rhinos in check and pushing American first policies. The left's got old relics like Biden, born 1942, practically a boomer. But they're no match for Trump's energy. Young folks complain about boomers running things. But who else has the guts to take China, the media, and the deep state? Nobody. Boomer voters rule. Boomers vote like champs, and in 2024, they backed Trump's vision big time, securing borders, cutting taxes, and stopping woke insanity. In 2025, their votes keep Congress fighting for MAGA priorities, even if the left cries about gridlock. That's just patriots holding the line. Why it matters in 2025. Winning the fight. The boomer civil war is Trump's patriots versus the socialist left. And we're winning. 2025 battles over budgets, borders, and free speech show MAGA boomers won't back down. The left's weak with their woke policies flopping. Owning the culture, patriotic boomers through Trump's social and Patriotic boomers through Trump's truth social and rallies keep America's values alive. Woke boomers try to cancel everything. But in 2025, we're pushing back in their school indoctrination and media lies. Young folks don't get it. Millennials and Gen Z whine about boomers, but they don't understand the stakes. Trump's boomers are saving America from globalists and communists. Sorry, kids, we're not retiring yet. Bottom line, the boomer civil war is Trump's patriotic boomers versus the radical left, and it's made 2025 politics a battleground for America's future. From tax cuts to border walls, MAGA boomers built the greatest country, and boomers and Trump's leadership keeps it strong. Woke boomers and their socialist dreams are fading. Patriots rule the day, and we're making America great again. Big league. I always sit there and think, big league. Ooh, that's how it is. I mean, boomers are the ones that vote. Gen X votes. Now. But even we were just slackers. We're like, yeah, we'll vote. Oh, wow, it's a federal election. Let's go vote. And then the other generations, I can sit there and tell you from experience talking to my kids and their friends. You guys voting? Oh, yeah, when is that? Tomorrow? Oh, I don't know if I got registered. It's like, what is wrong with you guys? I hear them complain about prices, but they don't go vote. Oh, well. Next article. Fertility rates. All right, my fellow mamas-to-be, grab your decaf latte and let's have a heart-to-heart because I'm about to spill some tea on the side giggles and a whole lot of love. I'm just a gal with a dreamy husband who makes me laugh. Till I snort, dreaming of our future kiddo while navigating the wild world. I dove into some numbers, 140 countries worth, because I'm extra like that, to figure out how money, babies, and us women killing it at work are tangled up like earbuds after a toddler gets hold of them. Spoiler, it's a roller coaster, but we're gonna laugh, cry, and probably call our senator about it. Let's attack this with some mama-to-be sass, a sprinkle of my hub's dad joke energy, and a big old dose of truth. Sources cited because I'm not out here guessing like I do with my Pinterest recipes. The economy's got jokes, and they're not funny. Picture me waddling in this data with pregnancy brain looking like a GDP per capita, fancy talk for how much money each person's got, per the World Bank. Here's the tea. The richer a country, the fewer babies we're having. South Korea's got $49,140 per person and a fertility rate of 0.0. No, I misspoke. Of 0.84. Less than one kid per mama. Germany at $59,730 with 1.5 kids. Meanwhile, Niger at $1,610, and they're having 6.7 babies per woman. If I plotted this on a graph, imagine me doodling on a napkin with my husband cracks. Low battery, high fertility, joke. It's a straight slide down. More money, fewer babies. It's like the economy whispering, you can have a career or a crib, but not both. Why is this happening? In rich countries, life's expensive. Childcare costs more than my dream stroller. Rent's eating my paycheck. And don't even get me started on how my boss thinks work-life balance is a cute myth. It's like the system saying, pick one, be a boss babe or a mama, or a baby mama. Rude, but then Brazil's over there with $20,000. 490 and 1.6 kids, probably because they've got better birth control access than my pharmacy, which is always out of my prenatal vitamins. My husband says it's because their coffee's stronger, but I'm sticking with the data. Women at work. We're rock stars, but we're... Now let's talk about us ladies in the workforce, measured by female labor force participation. Short FLFP. How many of us are out there hustling? From Yemen's sad 14% to Rwanda's epic 77%, we're out here grinding, but when I plot this picture, it's chaos. It places like the USA, 56% female labor force participation, and we have 1.6 kids per person, and Japan, 51% at 1.3 kids per person. More women working means fewer babies. Why? Because the world's not ready for us to have it all. No paid maternity leave, daycare costs more than our mortgage, and if I try to leave early to see my OBGYN, Karen from HR acts like I'm stealing company secrets. The numbers are real. A 1% increase in women's wage jobs drops fertility by 0.0465. In Italy, working women are 38% less likely to have their first kid. It's like the universe is saying, want a promotion? Cool, but no babies for you. Meanwhile, in places like Rwanda and Nigeria, women are working in fields and raising babies because their jobs don't come with a side of corporate guilt. My husband jokes they're multitasking queens. But I'm like, babe, they're just not stuck in Zoom meetings. But here's where I get all the hard eyes. Some countries are nailing it. Sweden got 60% FLFP and 1.8 kids. With childcare, I'd sell my left ovary for prenatal leave. Oh, parental leave for both parents. My hubs is already practicing his diaper changing skills. And work hours that don't make you feel like a bad mom for picking up your kids. Why can't we all be this fabulous? I'm ready to move to Sweden or at least write a strongly worded email to someone important. I scrolled through X and oh my gosh, the opinions. Some people are whining that women working since the 60s, thanks feminism, made two incomes a must, so kids are too pricey. Okay, Steve, but maybe if wages didn't lag like my Wi-Fi and the childcare didn't cost more than my car, we'd be fine. Also, let's give a shout out to the pill. Since the 60s, we've had the power to plan our families, chase careers, and not change diapers. My husband says it's the ultimate crib girl boss. It really has gotten to the point. As a woman who works, it is not worth having kids and being a working mom because you have the system raising your kids. And they turn out to be little monsters with emotional issues. And the system in your business telling you that they've decided to change their gender for the month. It has gotten to that point where, no, I don't want to have kids unless I can stay home and actually raise them. The era of, oh, this is going to be, yeah, mom's going to work. I'm going to be home for the first. And this was a real thing. For those of you who are younger, this was a real thing. I'm going to stay at home mom until they're like two or three. And then I'll take like a little part-time job so I can bring a little income. And my sister or grandma's going to babysit. Yeah, those were the old days. They were really old days. Those don't happen anymore. Not at all. Then they get to like five where they go to kindergarten, which back then was like a half day. And then it was like, oh yeah, then you work then. And then they got to first grade, which is pretty much the first time that you got to do an 8-hour stretch of work. Because then they were in school. And that's when women went back to work. And it's not like that anymore. You pop them out and you're lucky if you get 6 weeks. But normally you get like 2 to 3, just enough so you can start walking again and get back into the grind. And someone else is raising your kid because it's not half days. It's not 4 hours, not 5 hours, certainly 6 hours, it's 8 hours. And that does not include drive time. And you're not a parent. You've just got a mouth to feed, like a puppy or a cat. And you might as well get a puppy or a cat and not a kid. We have really messed up in the direction of this country. All right, that was the it of the articles. So let's go on to my observations for the week. The Trump administration. Holy shitoli. They out here panicking over a poll. I was like, really? Why are we so upset over a poll? Remember the one, people aren't happy. Oh, it's slipping. People aren't happy. Okay. Then the next thing hits, the GDP numbers. Oh, that's Biden. That's Biden. It's like, we give a whole lot of attention to a poll, and now we're giving a whole lot of attention that most people know that it's been shitty. But the saying is true. Where there is smoke, there is fire. So I divert your attention now to the ports. And I've been looking at people's videos of them going to their local areas where their shipping ports are and seeing large empty lots. You remember COVID? They would sit there and show you the shipping containers that are just sitting there, either sitting on ships and not being offloaded or shitting in the dock. Sitting in the dock, not being moved to put on trucks to move. Remember that? There's lots of videos out there. It's just empty. There are no ships with cargo containers. There's no ships sitting out waiting. There's nothing. And then on the dock itself, there's no shipping containers waiting to go somewhere. They just don't exist. Nothing. It's like, uh-oh. This is a worse situation than the COVID mess. COVID mess, it sat there. Whatever you want to call this period, it just doesn't exist. Well, at least, well, hopefully everyone has learned that we actually do make our own toilet paper in this country. You do not have to stock up on toilet paper. You just don't have to. We make that. But if you depend on it and it comes from another country, that's probably what you should be stocking up on. And that is why the Trump administration is in damage control. They're in defense because there is something coming and it's pretty ugly. But he did say there was going to be pain. There is going to be pain, and then there's going to be a boom. An economic boom. Ooh, wow. Well, that pain part is going to be truth, if you don't already feel it. Well, I'll meet you around the corner, I guess, when you finally get here. But yeah, it's coming, and it's coming fast. This summer is going to be very upsetting for a lot of people who continue to watch the mainstream and believe the economic nonsense that they spill out. But I don't think it'll be all bad. It is. It was the Band-Aid that needed to be ripped off a long time ago. And it wouldn't have been that bad if we'd have done it like it should have been done. But we all pay for our mistakes.